Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Why should Bulls fans believe that you're the person who's going to steer this franchise back to prominence, and what is your plan to do so?
3.5 years ago, we put a group together, and that didn't work. Right now, we're taking a step back a little bit and got younger, but we in complete control of our draft picks, and looking forward to what we can do the rest of the season, and we'll go to the draft and free agency, try to improve our team.
That was Arturas Karnišovas, who we know is not speaking next week after the NBA draft, or at least the first round. That is going to be Mark Eversley, the Bulls general manager. We go live now to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. This is Rahimi and Harris on the score. And we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the human wrecking ball himself. It is Joe Calley, the Suntime Bulls reporter and the host of the Bulls Recap podcast. Joe, how are you?
What's up, kids?
I think the last time we talked to you, we had the idea to call you after Tibbs got let go by the Knicks. And the blowtorch that you took to everything, I think there's still smoldering remains after what happened that week. So we're pretty excited to have you on.
Well, I can say this. It's not my story to exactly tell, but the scumminess that went on this past year behind closed doors with the Knicks, they should all be ashamed, and they'll all get what they have coming, because the way it's playing out. I mean, if you want to be a scumbag and you want to be a cockroach and just survive in this league, you'll eventually be exposed, and I think there's going to be a lot of people at the Garden, they're going to be exposed the next couple of years. All those good feelings that have been built the last couple of years with New York and then the Knicks and the fan base and the electricity that was going on the last couple of years just evaporated, because scumbags are scumbags, and we're all going to see it play out. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It is a story as old as time, a story not quite that old, but is getting older with each passing day, Joe, is the story of the Chicago Bulls front office and the maybe lack of accountability, or maybe it's just the lowered expectations of what passes for a good product because the building is filled. What can you tell us about what's going on with the front office in Chicago and whether or not they are indeed getting extensions all the way around?
Well, I think the extensions for the suits is done. And I don't think it was over this last week. I'm 99.9% sure from the people I've talked to that Arturas has been done for a while. And that goes without saying. I mean, I think he has the trust of the Reinsdorfs, whether it's fair or unfair in the eyes of the fan base, whether they feel like he warranted that or deserved it. He has a great selling point to extend him and to go ahead and have that done, for the simple fact of the books clear after this upcoming season, and they'll have a lot of flexibility, financial flexibility, and who knows what still opens up with this offseason and moves that are floating around and rumors out there. So it's safe to say Arturas has been done for months and was probably done either near the end of the season or just when the season ended. And then it's just a matter of the order of things. When you're the executive, you make sure that you have your general manager and then he still wants to do the job. So Mark Eversley was done, and now it's Billy Donovan's turn. And they don't really consider themselves the days of Gar Pax and then the coach and that pecking order being very clear have kind of died down. I will say this. The one thing that if you're a coach for the Bulls right now, the big change between what it was under Gar Pax is it's a democracy, and you get the freedom to say what you want and the freedom to hear things when you want to hear them and have a say in it. So Billy Donovan's in a great position. I think he loves the relationship he has with the front office. And so it was just the order of things that kind of play out. They weren't going to extend Billy and not have have a lame duck front office. That just doesn't work. So Billy Donovan's just kind of the final piece of this puzzle.
And also, Joe, of course, we're referring to the report from Drew Stevens, who had the tweet yesterday saying, on the heels of the reports that the Bulls and Billy Donovan have begun contract negotiations, Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have already had their deals extended. He said a source told It's the Bigs Media, on Tuesday. So that was the tweet we saw come down last night. And that's the thing, is we knew that there had been some clandestine element when it came to the extensions that were originally discussed regarding Billy Donovan the last time this happened. Joe, you talked about it a lot, just how we didn't know. I understand that at least we're getting some information now, but how do you compare and contrast when this happened the last time, where there were extensions that we didn't know about until much later?
Well, I mean, it's important to clear up that, like I said, Arturas was done for a while. So this isn't like the front office just had theirs done and now it's Billy's turn. That's not the way this is playing out. And the New York thing had nothing to do with it. They approached Billy with the contract extension right after the season and basically told him, look, this is going to get done. And Billy was not concerned about it. It wasn't like, oh, crap, the Knicks have come a-knocking, so we got to make sure we have our guy and extend him. That's not the way it's played out. And it seems like for anyone that has that misconception, you can go ahead and erase that. I mean, this is not a big surprise. What will be a surprise if do they officially announce Billy Donovan or do they stay in secrecy? Jerry Reinsdorf's take has always been, it's my business, what I do at my front office, and none of your business. And that's fine. But I think the coaching thing is bizarre, because if you're proud of your coach and you're proud of the job he's done, go ahead and announce that and let that fan base know. It almost is like they did this with the White Sox too. It's almost they in shame it gets leaked that the coach or the manager was extended. And it's almost like they're trying to hide it. So I hope they take a different approach when it's official with Billy Donovan. But yeah, the front office has been done for a while. Talks with Billy started right after the season. He knew this is how it was going to play out. And the New York rumblings have nothing to do with any of this.
Joe Cowley, Sun-Times Bulls reporter, host of the Bulls Recap Podcast, on with us here on Raheemy and Harrison. Joe, you break up a good point about the way that they kind of announce or don't announce those things. I'll say this. When the Cubs signed Jed Hoyer, they should parade that man around town if things are going the way they're going right now. I can understand why the Bulls / White Sox aren't exactly heralding anything. There's not much to herald as far as the on-the-field, on-the-court product if you have expectations as a city and as a fan base. I will ask you this, because it's the thing that's percolating for me personally. They cannot, I think it would be borderline criminal, sign Josh Giddey without that man signing an offer sheet somewhere, unless it is at a rate that is amenable to them. Do you see that happening?
I could see them out of good faith go ahead and just offering him a contract, because I think they have a pretty good feel of what he's going to be offered, which I think is different from the Patrick Williams thing where they really just took a flyer and just said, this is what we're offering. You bid against themselves before it hit the market. The Josh Giddey thing, the way it's played out, the only thing I would say is there's only one team that really has the money, and he, because of his age, fits the wave of player that they have right now, and that's Brooklyn. So maybe you do want to bring Brooklyn to the card table and see their cards. But at the same time, the going rate for what he did the second half of the season is $30 million a year. Do you want to test his ire, play that game of chicken with him and say, well, we're going to let the market bid for you, and then if there's no bid or if there's a weak bid, then we'll go ahead and match it. And then you have a distrust that Zach LaVine never got over. Zach LaVine never had a trust for the old regime and how they did things, and he didn't have a lot of trust for this new regime when he finally left. So do you want to have that kind of culture, or don't you? And so, but early in the year, I would have said it was malpractice if they did that. But I think Josh Giddey showed enough where they have a pretty good feel that $30 million is going to be the market value for him.
30 seems like a lot, Joe. I'm just saying 30 for as far as being a shrewd business person and knowing how the second apron works and everything else.
Everyone in that draft class where he was picked from, that's the going rate. Suggs, all of those guys. So, I mean, that's just where that slots. I mean, that's the business of basketball at this point.
I also think, Joe, that when we're asking the question, and Marshall brought up the second apron, because I think we're seeing these new cap realities and the new tax realities play out real time. You know, that's partially why the Thunder and the Pacers are in the finals, for example. And I understand that part of it. But it does make you wonder how much financial flexibility this next season the Bulls are going to have at all. Like, say they do want to move somebody. They might have to help pay some of the salary if it's Vooch, for example. You know, how do you see that playing out if this is the money that's being dedicated to Giddey?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily they're going to have to pay some of the salary. If the package is right, whether it's a Kuminga thing and it's a sign and trade with his contract and Vooch is part of the package, Coby White, you know, we just saw what Bane got. Coby White is nowhere the defensive player that Bane is, but he's a hell of a scorer. And when you have teams in the East now seeing a hole, okay, Indiana, do they feel this thing could be duplicated next year? Boston is going to be without their best player in Jason Tatum for likely all of last season or next season. Cleveland, okay, great regular season team. But and New York, you know, like I said, the dysfunction in New York. The East is kind of opening up where teams can get aggressive, and we already saw Orlando do that. So, you know, it's actually by sitting there and putting his hands behind his head and doing absolutely nothing except be mediocre, Arturis Karnosoros has had a great offseason by everything that's happened around him, and he's done absolutely nothing. It's just the landscape that he's operating in right now. So there may be a market for Vooch, and there may be a market for Coby White. And we'll see how that plays out the next 6 weeks or so, because I think this NBA offseason is about to get really, really crazy. I'd be shocked if a lot of crazy things don't start happening.
I love the idea that the chaos can be something that by standing pat, Arturis Karnišovas benefits from, because I'm wondering how are they going to get the assets to be in position to get a guy when they actually need a guy. And if you think there's a possibility that something can work with this Nikola Vucevic, Jonathan Kuminga thing, I'm interested to hear about it, because I'm highly interested in pairing Kuminga with the other players you have. And that's whether Coby White leaves or goes.
Well, yeah, Vooch was on the radar for Golden State last year.
Right.
That's the fact. We've all reported that. Casey Johnson, myself. I mean, that, you know, we know enough about what Mike Dunleavy was looking at to know that, yes, Vooch was serious radar. So, and they still have a problem there. They still need, you know, that punch and that outside shooting and playmaking from a five would fit really nicely there. So, you know, who knows? It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a crazy, crazy offseason in the NBA.
We are talking to Sun Times Bulls reporter Joe Calley, the host of the Bulls Recap podcast. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I do want to ask you about that Desmond Bane trade, because you know how I feel about the Luka one and the assets that were involved. At least there were four first-round picks that came with the acquisition of Bane. And also, going back to what you said about just the wildness that could happen when free agency officially begins in the NBA... Yeah, do you think that's a precursor of just what it takes for a team to value somebody and what it might take to get the deal done when there are financial issues that may come with some of these contracts?
Yeah, and I think it also shows on the other side of it that NBA teams like Memphis are starting to understand that you can really only link yourself to two guys, and then it's going to come down to role players or young guys stepping up. Or if you're Oklahoma City, just a year after year of draft picks and more talent coming your way to the point where you're going to have to start trading some of those draft picks, although you don't have to trade them to the Bulls because they don't ask for them in trades. So, it's an interesting time because team building is a little bit different now. I'm not 100% agreeing with Arturis that you build the team out. I still think you need that it guy. And I think that's been on display, especially by OKC, who, you know, on some nights has two it guys. But I think that the other side of Orlando trade is Memphis showing, hey, you can really only afford two of these dudes. And then it's about building the right roster around it, building it out to a certain point, but also making sure that the two dudes you have are lock and step and really work well together. And so... I think that's the other side of it. There, it comes with a heavy cost. I mean, I think the NBA was preparing for the first and second apron, but I don't think the reality of it slapped them in the face until the February trade deadline that just passed. And now you're seeing teams start to get a feel of the waves and understand what this thing should look like. And it just so happens that I think OKC has been ahead of the game. I think Golden State's been ahead of the game, understanding what they wanted to do and preparing for this. I'm anxious to see how it kind of plays out.
The OKC Indiana Pacers, to have those two teams in the finals in this moment, how much has that kind of advanced that idea for everyone understanding the second apron and what the future ramifications will be?
Well, I definitely think there's some of that involved, but, you know, I also look at, you know, they've been the best two teams since January. And so... You know, I mean, Indiana overcame a lot of injuries early on and guys, you know, finding their way and finding their role. OKC, I think, wire to wire, has been one of the best teams. What's being lost in this, they play with pace and, you know, they do some different things and both of them, shoot threes and play the way that they want to play. But at the end of the day, since January, both of them have been really good defensively. And that's where I think Arturis has kind of lost his way, understanding that there is another side to this. And look, obviously, Modest, you know, the reports from their workouts in L.A. a couple of weeks ago was Modest is sick. Modest is a freaking headache in waiting for the rest of the league. That remains to be seen, but he added the muscle, and now he's playing behind that muscle already. So, that's good news because I think he could be probably the face of their team and a two-way player, and then we'll see what they do with this upcoming draft. But you need to – there's different components to this, and the idea that you could just build a team out, have depth, play with pace, and boom, you're right there. Arturis is fooling himself. You need to be able to stop these dudes and stop these high-paced teams and make life difficult for them. You just can't run with them. And as the playoffs showed, those two teams came out, but the playoffs were all about 80s rough house basketball physicality, and the Bulls are nowhere close to that. So Arturis still has a lot to do with this roster if he thinks he's close.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you hated the way the regular season looked, yeah, I feel like the finals and the playoffs were actually for you, you know, like that demographic.
Right, right.
I also want to ask you this, Joe, because we hadn't talked to you since Aaron Rodgers is officially now a Steeler. What,
didn't I tell you everybody to relax? I said relax.
You did.
I think Aaron Rodgers wanted the theater, Joe. I don't necessarily think it was everybody else.
No, there was an agreement in place. It was just go ahead, finish your business, and come back and be ready to grab number 7. I mean, that's what this is about. It's about his legacy and the legacy of the standard. So Yeah, it's hard to explain all of this to Chicago football fans.
Wow.
I mean, they're just kind of, oh, I hope we got the right coach and quarterback. I hope we got a quarterback that could throw for 4,000 yards. I mean, it's like a kindergarten finger painting. So to have to explain, like, fine art to them is just difficult.
I will be talking to Joe about this after the Steelers go 9-8. And until the meantime, Joe, I know your birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday.
It's actually today.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I'm sorry I got bad intel on that. Happy birthday, Joe.
I appreciate it. And much like Aaron Rodgers, I'm celebrating my birthday dinner tonight, and then I'm going into it's either going to be 72 or I might go for the 100-hour water starvation so I could go into my own darkness retreat. So starting that tonight.
You already covered the Bulls. You don't need to do all that.
I've been in darkness for a while. I got you. That makes sense.
Wait a second. You decided to join us on your birthday?
We appreciate you.
Yeah, it's just another day. I got to paint a bedroom. I got a grill to build. Is it really my birthday or is it just kind of a day?
It's whatever you want it to be, Joe. We'll go with that.
There you go.
Happy birthday to Joe Cowley. Always great to talk to him. Joe Cowley, the Sun-Times Bulls reporter and the host of the Bulls Recap Podcast. We keep the guests going here on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Who are the top three athletes in Chicago are to you?
Pete Carl Armstrong. I'm going to.
Number one?
Number one.
Okay.
Number two. Two. Kyle Tucker. I'm about to blow your mind here. Number three, Seiya Suzuki. This man needs some credit, and I have discredited him in the past. It's time to look at this guy and say, let's give Seiya Suzuki a little bit of credit, man.
Yeah, that was a month ago today. Mark Grody gave his top three athletes in Chicago, and he went all baseball because apparently he forgot that the other sports exist, which is okay if that's what you want to do. He also forgot that the team on the South Side exists. White Sox couldn't crack your top three?
Really only team, one team right now that is existing. There's really one team that dominates the conversation on the score right now. It's not the White Sox. It's the Chicago Cubs. So why did you think that I would have Chicago White, a team that has lost 100 games in back-to-back seasons?
The Bears reporter doesn't have a single Bear on his top three athletes list in the city of Chicago?
I keep it real, man. You know?
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm not ready to put Caleb Williams on that list.
I didn't have Caleb Williams on that list either.
I think the list is turning out to be pretty appropriate.
Okay, so do you feel like we owe you an apology for ridiculing your choice at number three?
Yeah, probably, just because you guys were both kind of like mean about it and condescending, kind of like this texter here that said, Grody, do you actually know anything about baseball or sports? ISU educated explains a lot. It's just mean, man. Like, that's mean.
You went to Indiana State. You're sick of more.
Illinois State, baby!
Oh, my bad. My bad.
I can't take a texter
seriously. I was like, a sycamore, a cyclone, what is he?
It's a redbird, dude. It's a redbird. Now, you're just like, you're condescending now, too. Just because you went to a school that people actually know the name of and everything.
No, they come at me with, you went to Ole Miss. It's like, no, not that one. No, not the one with the Confederate flags. No, that's not how I got down back in 1996. But look, your Seiya point is salient. Listen. Seiya Suzuki is interesting in that the Cubs paid him a whole lot of money to be their best outfielder at the time, you know? And we were wondering what's going on with Seiya. And he has come in this season for, I think, a variety of reasons and had a much better year. There was a lot of talk about whether or not he was going to be okay with going from being the everyday right fielder to being a full-time designated hitter. Now, the thing is, he has played some games in the field. He's played 22 games in the outfield, 11 in left field, 11 in right field, right? So he's gotten some outfield mix. But he's been so much more productive this season from a power standpoint. Here's why I'm good with what happened with Seiya. In his first 3 years with the Cubs, he had 14 home runs, then 20 home runs, then 21 home runs. Now, he never played 140 games. So that's probably part of it. He already has 18 home runs this year. He's on pace to hit 40 bombs. His average down, 261, which would be the lowest average of his Major League Baseball career here in year four. His on-base percentage also down, 317, which would be the lowest of his time playing Major League Baseball. But here's the thing. He already has 18 home runs. He already has 18 doubles. The slug is at 536. And 536 is a number that your three-hole hitter should have. I think batting between Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong over the last month plus has really benefited him. That 536 slug would be the highest, and his home run rate is 5.9%, which is up from his career rate of 3.8%. So clearly something has changed, something has happened, and we're trying to figure out the answers. Well, listen to what Say himself had to say about his approach to the plate and being asked about that hard hit rate going up.
So he, before he was thinking that he doesn't want to strike out, but now he's trying to be more aggressive and then take more swings from the first pitch. That's how he's trying to do this year, and then it's been working.
Has there been any other time in your career where you've hit the ball continuously this hard?
So him being able to hit the ball hard is just a product of having good contact points.
So you hear from Seiya himself, Mark, and what I remember about when they signed him, the scouting report on this guy is that he's got good power and that he's solid all the way around, right? But he has an excellent knowledge of the strike zone. And so that causes him to be maybe a little bit more selective than a guy in his position you would maybe want. But now he's throwing out the window. He's like, if I see a pitch I think I can hit, I'm going to hit it.
That's the way he should be doing it. Now, I remember his first year with the Cubs in particular. there were a lot of times where it looked like he was getting, and we heard, I think it was Nico Horner earlier this year, when we had Nico Horner on to talk about the umpire, when he had gotten ejected from the game, he actually went out of his way, did Nico Horner, to talk about how Seiya Suzuki this year still is getting squeezed by umpires on a lot of close calls, on a lot of caught looking. Same thing as his rookie year, too. I remember there's so many times where it's like, maybe Seiya ought to swing more. We appreciate the fact that he's taking pitches and he seems to have a good eye at the plate, but he was getting rung up on too many called third strikes his rookie year every year. And look, he had good numbers last year. I remember everybody trying to talk me into, you got to look deeper at the numbers for Seiya Suzuki. What everybody wanted is what he is finally providing this year. Like, Seiya Suzuki's been a good Cub. This year, he is doing things that are great numbers for him. And to add the, hey, you know what? The doubles are great. Hit the ball over the wall. Go ahead and hit the ball over the wall. And that's what we're seeing more from Seiya Suzuki, and doing it in grand style. It feels like so many of his home runs this year have been like just the other day, the three-run homer in the Tuesday win over Milwaukee. Like, everyone seems to be a massive home run this year for Seiya Suzuki.
So PCA stole the show, of course, with his eighth inning theatrics.
Yeah, but really,
before,
man.
Before that, the three-run homer is the one that gave the Cubs the lead.
Yes.
That is big. And
right.
Again, he hasn't been always healthy. He's never played 140 games as a major leaguer, but this year he's only missed three games. His WAR is already at 1.7, so he's on pace to be around just under around four. And the OPS isn't that much different. So 2 years ago, it was 842. Last year, it was 848. Right now, it's 853. The difference is that OBP, which was 357, 366, now down to 317. Yeah, give me the slug over the OBP for my number three hitter. Especially when you have Ian Happ at the top of the order and then Kyle Tucker in front of you. Give me all the slug. The OBP I'll gladly sacrifice for more slug. And I love that that's what's been going on with him specifically in this one. And you talked about Nico Horner.
Yeah.
That clip that you talked about, yeah. We're going to play right now just to remind okay. people what Horner Sick. Had to say about Suzuki.
It's a fine line of, like, you know, you don't want to be a team that complains a bunch, and that's a tired act for sure. But when, you know, you have players that aren't getting calls that really are getting calls that really impact their bats, it's a big deal. And, like, you know, Seiya in particular, I'm not sure if this year it's been the case, but he's had like a really strange amount of bad calls against him over the last couple of years, and he's not, you know, someone who's going to scream in and let an umpire, but I feel a little more fiery when it happens to him, just because it feels like it happens a lot.
So there you have it from Nico, right?
It's interesting, man.
He's like, letting you know what it is and what it ain't.
Yeah, like, he seems genuinely PO'd at the umpire. Like, he's offended on behalf of Seiya Suzuki.
That's so, what a teammate does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it's nice to hear that he genuinely seems concerned with that. But yeah, I mean, you watch, like, there's a decent amount of times where you see Seiya Suzuki taking a pitch and getting called for a strike when it shouldn't be called for a strike.
I'm enjoying the bromance between Pete Crow Armstrong and Seiya Suzuki, and this kind of, not I guess sibling rivalry, but more like a outfield rivalry when it comes to the bombs, right? Because Seiya's got 18. Pete Crow Armstrong's got 19. They homered in the same game. Pete was like, oh, you caught up with me? Let me go ahead and get you one better. And it's been fun. And they asked Seiya after the game about him being right there with PCA, and they hitting home runs on the same day.
Well, Pete said you homered, so then he had to homer. What was your reaction?
So the first reaction was, why did he do that? But he was happy at the same time for him.
PCA, why do you do this? The defensive play was enough, and then you come up and was it the first pitch that he hit?
Oh, it was the first pitch
off of
first
Rob.
Pitch 452, 453, depending on who you ask.
Against, do you know who he hit it off of? Only I know this. Is anybody in this room, right, just off the top of your heads, did anybody know who he hit the home run off of? the other
David
night.
Eckstein.
No, it wasn't David Eckstein. It was a 2016 Chicago Cub.
What about thanks?
That he hit it off of. That's a rare thing. His name is Rob Zastrzyzny, and I only know this because I covered Rob Zastrzyzny.
Wait, you do know baseball? You've covered baseball before?
I know. I know. It's shocking. Like every team in the league. It's amazing. And I always tell this story. Have I ever told you guys the Rob Zastrzyzny story?
No, hit us.
Just really quick. It's really embarrassing, actually. Rob Zastrzyzny played for the Cubs. I was doing pre and post back then. I had his phone number. I was working out one day. I accidentally conference called or video called Rob Zastrzyzny, who I'd never called in my life for anything. And so I butt dial a Major League Baseball player who was freaked out because he's on the up and down train of the minor leagues and the big leagues. So he's like, why the hell is this guy who does pre and post for the Cubs, why is he butt dialing me right now?
He didn't know it was a butt dial.
Well, yeah. No, he didn't know. But I called him back or I text him an hour later. I'm like, dude, I am sorry for that. And he's like, okay, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't some sort of issue. So it was.
So you thought this could be about his career.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I had a. So whenever I see
the harbinger of death,
the
Mark
name
Brody.
Rob Zastrzyzny, I'm like, oh yeah, Rob. And then there he was pitching against the Cubs, Rob Z, and boy, still, did PCA let her fly.
Still very much contributing to the Cubs.
Still contributing.
He had an
to
offering for
Cubs
PCA, and PCA
success.
Said, "I will. I know exactly what to do with that."
Yes.
Speaking of Pete Crow Armstrong, listen to what he had to say as they go back and forth about Seiya's home run.
What was the funniest thing one of your teammates said when you came into the dugout? Because I saw you guys all laughing.
I was having a giggle with Seiya just because he hit a homer and I then had to match it. So I'm going to enjoy that continuous game of catch we're playing.
That courtesy of Marquis. And yeah, I think the competition is good for this team. Iron sharpens iron is one of the older cliches that we use to describe such situations. But the Cubs, they're having so much fun, and that's why I'm so upset that last night's game did not happen, because I wanted to have some fun. Like, I want to see some good baseball. I love good baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was a total disappointment last night that there was no baseball for anybody to watch. Let's see, a couple of text messages. Seiya unlocked. Grody knows baseball. Grody is now qualified to be Secretary of Defense.
Don't you have a World Series ring, though?
He has a World Series ring.
I think you know baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
I guess
don't you wear the World Series ring?
What? Because it's just too gaudy. Like it's like really.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you're saying something. It's too much. Okay. I did for a while.
Speaking of gaudy, you ever been to the Windy City Smokeout and seen some of those get-ups in the dead of summer?
I have not, but I've seen Layla's pictures.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Listen all week for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout. That's Saturday, July 12th, with performances by Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. For tickets, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
There's a bond growing between Eberflus and Williams. That's a good thing. A strong relationship can take a team a long way. It can even last a lifetime.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Set me off.
That kind of says everything right there. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And the story that, whether or not you like it, dominated sports media last month was the Seth Wickersham upcoming book about quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams, of course, the excerpt that landed was about his tribulation and what he was going through when it came to his concerns before he ended up getting drafted by the Bears. That all, of course, through his father, Carl Williams. Williams was the one working with Wickersham, the author who was embedded with them at this time. And then Caleb Williams ends up addressing it in his way later at Bears minicamp. Now, Matt Eberflus has appeared on the Doomsday podcast in response and actually spoke about some of the comments, because Marshall, even you said it yourself, the biggest one you had concerns about was regarding how he knew how to watch film.
Going back to last season, everything else kind of made sense. I understood why the trepidation about getting drafted and all that other stuff by the Bears. But then when you hear about the film part of it, which is, I didn't know how to watch film by myself, I was like, well, is that something that's been corrected? Now, he's since come out and talked about it, said some of that was out of context, and yeah, he knows how to watch film. But it's interesting to know that Matt Eberflus has an opinion on it.
Well, and the Doomsday podcast is Ed Werder, who's longtime Dallas beat reporter. He knows that whole, I think, sphere in Dallas very well, that whole environment. And for Eberflus to speak out on a podcast is not common either, as we know, Mark.
That is true. We didn't hear a lot of free Foreman Flus through the years.
Say that three times
free
fast.
Free Foreman Flus.
Free flowing Flus.
Free flowing Foreman friggin' Flus.
Free flowing Flus.
You're doing a lot right
free
now.
Free flowing Flus.
So do we want to hear from Flus? Do we want to hear from Matt Eberflus here right now?
And I mean,
hear,
that's the next step in this.
This is his his rebuttal.
No.
To the excerpt coming out that Caleb did not learn how to watch the tape properly.
Let's listen to the Doomsday podcast.
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him last year. You're the head coach. How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, Hard Knocks, they do a great job. They really do. They stay
good
out of the way.
Because they're going to be here this year.
They are. And I've been telling the whole staff up there that they do a wonderful job. They stay out of the way, very professional. But back to your other question about, you know, the film watching and all that, I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I've observed, and that's where it was.
Okay, listen, this is all being misframed. Okay, can we go back to the beginning of that? I want to make sure people
understand. The sigh to the breathing?
Well, listen, the way he even asked Matt Eberflus the question, that's what I had to take issue with. Can we go back to the beginning of that?
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, well, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him.
Stop it right there. That's not what he said.
No, it was Carl. It was his dad.
But I'm saying that's not even what Carl said. That's not what was in the Seth Wickersham article.
Also,
he just said no one watches film with him. That's what he said. That's what he was saying that Matt Eberflus was being accused of. No one watches film with him. Here's the actual line from the Seth Wickersham article. At times, Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. No one tells me what to watch. That's the quote. I just turn it on. He's not saying no one watches film with him. He's saying when he's trying to watch film by himself to do the extra work, no one had instructed him what he should be watching for. That is what he is saying. So I think those are two different things. I think the way they framed that to Matt Eberflus, and you guys can tell me if you heard it differently, but the way they framed it is like, it's an accusation that no one watched film with him. That's not what was being said.
I think you got to read the actual quote. And that's been my issue with a lot of this to begin with, is people don't understand the significance of the story. They don't understand the fact that this was an embedded author that they allowed in. This is not some gotcha piece that like came out to like fool people. This is all stuff that was consented to and encouraged in process. And then Carl being Caleb's dad and also his agent, the agent part adds to this tremendously. And you're right. Is it him speaking for his son? Is it him trying to explain what happened last season? Like, we haven't gotten that context either outside of the author who had the conversation with him. We hadn't heard from Carl. There's a lot to discuss here. Yeah, you have to phrase that in a way that is actually accurate in order to elicit an accurate response.
Yeah, well, Caleb did debunk the idea that nobody was watching tape with him. I mean, he did say that maybe he didn't. I'm paraphrasing on Caleb's behalf here, but let's listen to Caleb. Here's what Caleb said.
That was a funny one that came out. It wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was more or less the sense of learning shortcuts in the sense of, or not learning shortcuts, but learning ways to watch film and be more efficient, learning ways to, you know, pick up things better. And so that was a funny one that came out, in context and how I was trying to, you know, portray it, didn't get portrayed that way. So, it wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was trying to figure out the best ways and more efficient ways so I can watch more film. I can gather more information so that when I do go out there on game day, that it's, you know, I'm that information that I gathered through Monday, when we got back, you know, all the way up to, you know, whatever day the game day is. So when I get out there, I can gather it, you know, I see it, I can react. And it's not me sitting there thinking so much about, you know, the rules and these different things. It's more of a reaction game at that point in muscle memory.
You know what he wanted? You know what he wanted, Caleb Williams, what he needed was more than Matt Eberflus staging meetings for HBO Hard Knocks, as the clip that we heard coming into this segment. And Matt Eberflus, of course he loved Hard Knocks. He loved the treatment that he got because he shoved it in our face trying to show Matt Eberflus sitting in a room with Caleb Williams at some point in time in every single episode, which turned out to be staged and absolutely bogus. I absolutely believe that they watched film together, but they certainly didn't do it in a way that moved Caleb Williams in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's just beautiful that, yeah, of course, the best thing that Matt Eberflus had in his time with the Chicago Bears was HBO Hard Knocks. Nobody nobody treated that man better.
The rehab.
Nowhere did he look like a better coach.
There's a bond growing between Eberflus and Williams.
That's what I'm saying. This whole thing is just beautiful.
The only other... First of all, Arielle Moore is number one Hard Knocks MVP, DJ's daughter.
Oh, adorbs.
Number two is the Museum of Ice Cream.
Fair enough.
Which is number one in everybody's Instagram.
I mean, and if you want to throw like an Ian Wheeler story and in then, there, it's pretty sick it was with Ian, the mom. Yeah. And yeah. So, by the way, Ian Wheeler spotted him the other day when I was at an OTA.
Getting that
There's
working.
Ian Wheeler scooting around, looking healthy, looking ready to compete in that running back's room.
The problem I have with all of this is you have nothing to point to from last season that says any of these things were not warning signs. Indeed, they were all warning signs. And you had everything proven every game.
And I was warning people in real time during Hard Knocks last year that what you're seeing is bogus.
I would love to point to any one of these issues and then say scoreboard. But the problem is the scoreboard also points to these issues.
Right. It does.
You know what didn't point to the
issues?
You
really can't, you can't prove it with any football. And like you can in certain drives. And yeah, like we know that, like I'm not saying Caleb Williams isn't talented, like that he's talented. I'm not saying that his talent it was absolutely underutilized. Like these are truths. Yeah. But when it comes to the actual proof of any of this succeeding in spite of all these things, no, they definitely failed largely because of a lot of these things. Like this is just proof.
You are listening to Rahimi and Harris, along with the esteemed Mark Grody, as we discuss the comments that Matt Eberflus, the former head coach of the Bears, now defensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys, made in response to questions about whether or not Caleb Williams was watching film by himself. He was not. He was watching with someone every day. But that wasn't really the question, Matt.
He's this abused child.
The Doomsday Podcast kind of messed up the way that they framed that question. But it's okay. Because you know why? It's all in the past. It is in the rear view mirror. Although objects in the mirror are closer than they appear because they play the Cowboys this year coming up. And that should be fun.
Isn't there an album somewhere?
I would do anything
that?
For love, but I won't do that. Maybe. I think it's a Meatloaf album.
No, I think there's a song like Rearview Mirror. Or no, that's a Pearl Jam song. But there's an album, I want to say, that where objects appear closer, like a bad Def Leppard album or something.
Photograph.
No, actually, that's a good Def Leppard song.
I'm serious.
I know
I think
what
it's
a Monet
a
is.
Album.
Good from far, but far from good, because you get closer and it gets...
Oh, it's actually pronounced Monet.
Here's the issue is, you can say it's all in the past, but the problem is the past has repeated itself for this franchise many times.
No, we're past that now.
No, I'm sure, I'm sure that they would like to say that. That's a lovely big talking point.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it, not because of the... Listen.
And I'm saying you're repeating it.
Ryan Poles is still here. I get that. So there is a chance that there's repetition. Further, but I will say this, with Ben Johnson in charge, I at least feel like there's competency on offense, or at least there should be. There's never been a point in which there's been a higher chance of competency going in than right now with Ben Johnson, who is running a very good playbook, designing very good plays, and he has done it with a strong track record in the previous three seasons as the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
I think you're right. I think he does bring the best credibility in of like past Bears coaches, but there was two previous coaches who also stacked some optimism for the offense, and that was Mark Trestman.
Matt Nagy.
And Matt Nagy, exactly. Yeah. Both of those guys. So there are, as Layla said, there are lessons to be learned from the past, but... You're right to say that this does, like, this is a straight A student coming in. This is like, this is straight A's, 36 on your ACT, which actually may be correct considering how smart Ben Johnson appears to be. But he's that guy. He's the top recruit. He's the number one overall pick as far as head coaches go. So he does come in and he yells. So, you know, you
got
that.
Is it the yelling part that really gets you going?
Is that
what gets you lathered up, Mark?
No, I'm actually kind of making fun of it at this point.
The win-loss record gets me going.
That is hot. Yes.
That's what I keep going back to is for everybody who wants to be like, oh, yeah, we showed you. You have not. We're not there yet. Did you do the right things to put yourself in that position? Yes. But you get to point to the scoreboard when the games happen. They have not happened yet. So I'm still in the, how can we prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, they're not 10-7 yet.
Because you've been hurt before.
If there's any whisper whisper of a quarterback. Wheat thin. If there's any one of those things.
Cool whip. Cool whip, yes.
If there's any whisper of a quarterback, having questions about how he needs to prepare, guess what my number one priority therefore becomes?
Oh, my God.
Helping him prepare.
Don't let Wickersham near the Bears this year, by the way. Keep that man out of the aura of the Chicago Bears. No.
Here's why I'm okay with Wickersham being all over the Bears
this
year.
Stay away. We don't want that story again.
Because I want the truth. And it seems like
that story that you created.
Well,
with the author, you allowed to be there.
He's allowed to get in there and tell the truth. Just tell me the truth. Like, some people don't want the truth. They don't want to know how the sausage is made. Show me the intestines. Show me how the sausage is made.
That's why we talked about it.
Show me the menudo.
Yes.
Menudo.
Yeah.
Raynos.
You want a fresh harvest? Raynos. Show me the manure that you spread over the crops to get them to, you know, come to fruition.
I think that's mostly microplastics now.
Past the dochi. Is it past the dochi on the left-hand side? Is that the menudo? Right?
Ray's just, they're cackling.
Am I right?
Dochi's
in her open.
Yeah, Dochi's an artist.
Wait a minute. Isn't that?
But it was Dochi. That's the Dochi to the left-hand side.
And the Dochi is what?
He said Dochi, didn't he?
He did. He said Dochi.
And a Dochi is what? Is that a cigar?
Cody, you and I went to Jingle Bash, and now you're off your game.
Is it
we
got to
get you back.
What, you guys
I always assumed. I never looked it up.
Oh, so you don't know.
How long ago were you at Jingle Bash, though? Let's be real.
That was pre-pandemic.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was.
That's
it
a
was
different lifetime
pre-panorama.
Ago.
Pre-panorama.
Katy Perry,
Pre-panini.
Man. I had such a good time.
Katy Perry was a very different person back then, by the way.
Boy, howdy.
So there you go.
Boy, howdy. So nobody knows.
I'm sorry, that's not something you guys understand.
No, I don't know what a Dutchie is. Is that a cigar? The Dutch
Smoke
Master.
Weed every day.
Okay, so it's weed. Ray didn't know.
He was ready with that one.
I had always assumed it was a reference to weed.
I did too.
It is by
but I
a
didn't know.
Group called the Musical Youth. Came out in 1982.
Wait, I thought that was Menudo. No?
No.
Menudo is like Ricky Martin and...
I know who Menudo... Like, they change the band every year,
like
right?
It's like a boy band,
It's like the original... Like, one of the original boy bands. I could have sworn that was a Menudo
song. Also,
I am
also
sorry.
It's also a dish that features the intestine.
Delish? Is everybody right now looking
so
things
when Marshall
up?
Said, yeah, so when Marshall said, show me the intestine, and I was like, show me the Menudo?
Yes.
It was a.
That's how we got to where
you.
We are right now.
Yeah, that's how we went well off the train tracks. But
if you missed last week's episode, here's where we got. Here's
also,
why we
I'm
got.
Dying laughing at all the texts on the text line. First of all, everybody who had references to the movie, would you like to play a game? You all are correct.
Would you
secondly,
like to play a game?
Secondly, all caps 847. All we saw was staged meetings and a bee blanking farm. So that was funny. And then. Hootie and the Blowfish had an album called Cracked Rear View.
That's
so that
not,
might have been it. Was Hootie.
That's not what I was thinking, but I'll
but Meatloaf
out.
Did. Meatloaf did indeed have a song, according to
847,
called
Objects
in the Rearview Mirror that's maybe
it.
Appear closer than they are.
Oh, that's what
so
it is.
Everyone
that's
is what correct, is what I just heard.
Yes. And Dutchies are weed. It's not just
you pass here. It to the left hand side.
You pass it to the right, left hand side.
Don't mess up the rotation,
to the left,
Brody.
To the left.
Don't
right?
hold
Beyonce,
on too long either.
There's puff, something pass. About the left. Yeah, puff puff pass.
Yeah,
right?
don't puff 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 puff.
Yeah,
puff puff pass.
Puff puff pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a smoker, by the way.
Oh,
of,
right.
of anything.
What, I think you just gave yourself up.
No,
man.
I'm just telling you. I'm not a smoker.
I think you're about to go smoke some Dutchie during the break. I bet you
I
are.
Don't think it's called some Dutchie.
Just it's leaking out of Port's office right now.
It's a Dutchie.
Are you doing the Dutchie?
Yeah.
Please don't.
Teach
you,
me how to
Dutchie.
When you ask somebody.
My wife, Dutchie.
When you ask somebody outside if they listen to AM radio, please don't refer to this conversation.
don't refer to our show at all,
I don't know if it's going to go well.
This is a little
street.
More FM, actually, is what I'd say. This is hot FM talk that's
like,
going on
hi,
right now.
Would you like to listen to my show on AM radio?
We should ask Trista
Let me
Kirk
ask
if,
questions
if she
about all
knows
of
what
this.
A Dutchie is.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
High fly ball right field. This one back. It's got a chance. And that one is gone. Nice piece of hitting. Ian Happ.
Here it comes. Line drive. Base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Brujan scores. Ian Happ walks it off as the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2 in 10.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Deep drive to left. That's trouble. Back goes Happ.
near the left field fence. Hap makes the catch right up against the wall.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Do you want to talk about the cutter in off?
Yeah, I don't know how you kept that fair, let alone hit it over the fence.
It's one of those blackout swings where you just black out. It happens a few times a year where you just black out. You're not really sure how you did it.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
We do toast Ian Happ. We go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we talk to our resident outfielder. He is Ian Happ, and we know that Ian has a lot going on. He co-hosts the Compound Podcast, which is now part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We're excited for some baseball. I know you're excited about tonight's game because allegedly the wind will be blowing out, and I know how you feel about that.
That's what I've heard. I've heard the rumors. It might be a good week for hitting at Wrigley.
I know that superstitions are personal in baseball, but do you even like to talk about the wind given the fate of the season so far when it comes to everything being blown in at Wrigley this year?
Yeah, I think this is – hopefully we're going to get a nice little week here where we get a little bit of relief from that wind blowing in because it's been a tough run-scoring environment at Wrigley, and you can see in the – some of those numbers, home and road splits for the offense, that it's been tough to score. And obviously, you know, we play that close series against the Pirates, and pitching staff did a great job keeping us in it and giving us a chance. So hopefully the offense can back those guys up for a few days here.
I know that is it's an appreciated and accepted part of baseball life when you know that the weather right now, especially this time of year, can be inconsistent at Wrigley. Later than usual summer, I feel like, coming in. But when you know that it is taking away hits at this point in the season, how do you try to address it as a hitter, knowing that, you know, that might be the case at home when it's gone on this long so far this year?
Yeah, I think we experienced it last year for sure. Last year was one of the toughest years at Wrigley that I've seen. But as a team, we've done a really good job of, making the base running important, not being afraid to have some bunt situations in games when it looks like it's going to be a really tough day to score. And obviously the pitching staff has done a great job, keeping us in. So we've done a really good job as a team, I think, on a personal level. The challenge is just continuing to have your same at bat and not letting the wind affect you and just continuing to kind of push through and get some balls hard and the wind knocks them down. Definitely you can get a little bit pull happy in that situation just because there are hits. If you hit it really hard, pull side down the line, it feels like when the wind's blowing in as a hitter, if you hit something to center or kind of to the opposite field in the air, there's just no chance that you're going to get, double or home run out of that. So it can definitely change your approach as a hitter. And I think you're constantly fighting that and trying to maintain kind of who you are.
Ian, I know the last time you were on the field, it was a nice ending for you, the walk-off to clinch a series win against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I have a question because I know games are different when you're up by 5 or down by 5, and then when you're playing in all these one-run games. Does the tension level rise, or how do players individually deal with those types of conditions? Because basically for that entire series, it was nip-tuck.
Yeah, I think we've done a really good job as a team of handling it and understanding it, that those are going to be series that you have to deal with. The Pirates have played really good baseball of late, and they've done a really good job of just limiting opponents as far as run scoring. Starting pitching has been really good for them. Bullpen's been really good. I think the series they played before us was all close one-run games like that, like less than kind of 3 or 2 runs given up, and so we kind of knew going into the series that that's what it might look like, and it was awesome that our pitchers kind of did the same thing and limited them and gave us a chance to be in it.
I know that you've talked a lot about you joke about like hating pitching because there are guys like Jameson Taillon who will mix in an extra pitch just because he can. But you seem to have done a lot of pitching service and outreach lately. We played on Friday the comments from Ryan Pressly where he said he talked to you about going over what he was doing. What can you tell us about that conversation and what you observed?
Yeah, I think just really cool for a veteran who's been in the league and had so much success as Press has, to be continuing to try to get better and to have an understanding of, hey, something isn't right, or I don't feel like my pitch mix is working the way it should. And so when I was on the IL, you know, he asked me to go through a report and let him know what I would be looking for and what I would be trying to hit and how his pitches would play to me. And so, you know, was able to kind of go through, just give him my thoughts on what I was seeing and kind of how I would prepare to face him, what pitches I would want to handle. And I think it just gave him that other side perspective, and let him change up his mix a little bit and try to work on, you know, hitting some different spots with some different pitches. And obviously, you know, his stuff has played for a long time. It was always going to play. And he's done an amazing job for us.
I really appreciate not only him even saying that, because I don't know that a lot of people would say that publicly, but the candor that he's had when it came to him calling that outing a wake-up call against the Giants, you know, the game that went into extras, and obviously he ends up giving up 8 earned runs, and then how he's worked his way back in, and then coming with, you know, the extra effort. What can you say about him doing that at this point in his career, 36 years old, been on playoff teams aplenty, and he's still doing what he can to make this work, and thusly having it happen where he's back throwing the ninth?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of who he is as a person. That's the reason why he's been on so many playoff teams and had success in the playoffs, in big spots, is because he's willing to do that. He's willing to look in the mirror and say, this isn't good enough, and always want to be better, even at this stage in his career. And it makes everybody around him better. I think that mentality from, you know, the veteran back end of the bullpen arm, it really bleeds into everybody else. And I think it's really cool for guys to be able to see how hard he's working on what he's doing. It's really, it would be really easy at this point in his career to say, well, this is my stuff and I'm going to be stubborn to what I've always done, to have that ability to kind of keep adapting and changing and want to be better is just really impressive and fun to watch.
From one veteran to another there, as Ian Happ joins us, as he does at this time on Tuesdays every week on Raheemy and Harris. Ian, you've got experience as an all-star. Ryan Presley's been a two-time all-star. Don't know if you've been monitoring the voting that just came out, the first tabulations for the National League, but both of your outfield mates, if you will, 1 and 2 in outfield voting. You're right there, also just outside the top 10 in voting. What do you think of where this is, where PCA has the third most votes of any of the prospective outfielders?
Yeah, it's cool. And it's awesome, Cubs fans showing up and voting. And I think, obviously, Pete has had a spectacular year. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. And where he transcends even, you know, the Cubs fan base is voting and being there, but he's gotten a lot of national attention, and obviously his highlights and him being so fun to watch, I think the whole baseball world's appreciating that, and it's super cool. You know, he deserves a chance to play in that game and to represent the Cubs in that game. And I think the other part of that all-star voting is, you know, Nico's right there, Seiya's right there, Carson Kelly's right there. I think we have a bunch of guys who have been having really great seasons and deserve some recognition in that game. You know, Michael Busch has had a fantastic year, and then some of our starting pitchers as well just have been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it'd be nice to see a big representation of Cubs in the All-Star game. It'd be really fun for those guys.
Our segment with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. And Ian, I said this to Marshall, and you would know, as not only a player rep, but also a noted veteran and somebody who observes the league on your podcast. I think it says a lot when Cubs fans make their voices heard, because again, the Cubs need to be mentioned in the same sentence as the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees. Like, that's the kind of respect that this organization deserves for the reach it has. And I think when fans do this, it's an easy way to remind the rest of the league and other people associated with the team as well, and anybody who's observing, that that is the type of expectation that you guys should have. Like, you're the Habs, you are the big names in baseball, and it shows.
Yeah, it's just, it's really cool when you're voted in by you know, by fans and the people really want to see you play in that game. And I think that's the really cool thing about the Cubs brand is that, you know, everybody tunes in on Friday at 1:20 to watch our game. It's the only game going in town. I think, you know, you've seen when the team's playing well, just there is that support and notoriety, and the Cubs fans are always there for us. But when we're in first place and we're rolling and Wrigley's jumping for a nice week like this, like, it's going to be pretty special. And yeah, it would be awesome to see, you know, five or six of those guys rolling out there for the All-Star game.
You mentioned Seiya Suzuki, who really is getting the shaft right here with the Rafael Devers trade. I don't know if you saw how that broke down, but Devers and his 796,382 votes shift now from the American League to the National League, knocking Seiya down to third place. So getting to phase two, you need to be one of the top two vote getters. What are your thoughts, and how shocked were you, first of all, that he got traded, Devers, at this point, and that now Seiya's he's got a long road to climb if he's going to get into that discussion?
Yeah, I guess we don't see a lot of all-stars traded before the deadline, so this hasn't been a pretty common problem. But yeah, I was shocked. I didn't know that's how it worked. And I hope that, you know, the starting lineup's decided by the fans. And I think that it's pretty obvious that Shohei's gonna be the guy in that spot, but I really hope that the coaches vote and that Seiya gets in there, because he really, really deserves it. The year he's had, what he's done in his career to this point, like, he deserves to be in that game. So I really hope that he gets in there.
And it's not very often we get to talk to you on a first day of a series, but that's the case when you got a 3-game set against the Brewers at home. Ben Brown starting against Chad Patrick. Then you've got the rookie phenom, Jacob Mizorowski. What are you looking for when it comes to just the Brewers pitching in this series? And, you know, take me through a baby hitters meeting, if you will, on day one.
Yeah, we're going to get Freddie Peralta that last game of the series. So obviously we've seen him a lot, and we know kind of what we're going to try to do against him. The other two guys at the beginning of the series are going to be new for us. So, you know, we'll go and do our research and figure out kind of what the game plan is and what stuff that they have. You know, honestly, I don't know a lot about those guys. And then I think the bullpen's pretty similar. So it's going to be a lot of work in the first 2 days just trying to figure out exactly kind of what the game plan is going to be against these two guys, and without a ton of information. So it should be a good series. It always is. It's always tight series with the Brewers. And like you said, I think the wind's going to be blowing out for a couple of days. So we're going to get good weather, and hopefully offense can put up some big numbers and be feeling good.
I know that Mizorowski's slider, his slider, checks in at 96. His fastball is easily 102.
It's amazing where pitching is right now, huh? That's pretty impressive.
I don't even know what to say. 96-mile-an-hour slider is not a real thing to me. Like, I might as well be watching a video game.
Yeah, I saw it was just that series with Pittsburgh that we just had. You know, they had some young bullpen arms that had come up since the last time we played them. And, you know, guys sitting upper 90s. I saw a 94-mile-an-hour slider over the weekend. You know, the caliber of pitching just – I think Steely actually tweeted about it. Just the average major league pitcher right now, and the caliber of the stuff it's at a crazy, crazy place. It just keeps getting better. And, you know, that's the challenge in today's game, is that the average stuff is pretty elite. And so, yeah, hitting in this era is a little bit different, but I think that's a fun part as the game develops and changes, that hitters keep adjusting, and it's pretty impressive.
And also, Ian, I know you've got a Parse Rum jersey that people can get. I feel like this is Parse Rum weather. Like, we're into cold brew weather. Oh, yeah. We connect. We're into Parse Rum weather with the summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some Parse Rum jerseys that we're giving out to people who are listening to the pod and tweeting when they go to Benny's and grab a bottle of Parse, tweeted us, and we're going to get some jerseys out to people. And then we actually have a Connect Roasters jersey, too, that's online on the Connect Roasters website. You could check out, and I'm hoping to see a few people floating around Wrigley and Connect and Parse jerseys. They're pretty cool.
I know that the Parse Rum fans are into it, that's for sure, as well. So, Ian, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us, as you always do every week.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Ian.
That was Ian Happ, our Cubs outfielder of residence. And Ian Happ, of course, you can download that Compound podcast, part of Odyssey Sports. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.